Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast on this 11th of February 2018. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture for the next 45 minutes, as always, call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram account and follow me at William Gerald Quinn. We are live on Facebook right as of right now. We will be for the next 15, 20 minutes or so live on Facebook. So we are now at that point in the sports calendar where it's going to hit a bit of a dead spot. Still a month away from the NCAA tournament. You'll hear, you know, off-season stuff about baseball, spring training coming up, and about, you know, NFL free agency. But this is the real first dead period of the sports calendar, especially in 2018, as we are a week removed from Super Bowl 52. Of course, again, congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles to win their first World Championship. But still a busy week with the NCAA and NBA now taking center stage. You have the NBA, we have Cleveland, Boston this afternoon. We'll get the first chance to see Cleveland with some of their new toys with the coming off the trade, which they actually had to make. We knew that trade had to be made. They had to get the stench out of that locker room. It was more about addition by subtraction than doing anything. But, you know, getting George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. Provides them a better opportunity for doing what they had before, you know, in terms of age, again, in terms of just negativity in that locker room. And from the reports that you hear, it just wasn't Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you hear Isaiah Thomas talking. Apparently, Dwayne Wade was not the greatest locker room guy, and he really got to advantage of the fact that he was close friends with LeBron James, and a few players in that locker room did not like Dwayne Wade. Remember, before, you know, there were rumblings about that when since he got there, that there were some players on the team that did not want Dwayne Wade on the team. Now, that was turned LeBron the wrong way, which you wouldn't understand if you would, considering that, you know, how tight he and LeBron James are. So Cleveland did what they had to do. Does this guarantee them, you know, does it get them closer to Golden State? No. But this does put them in a position where they should be. They should be able to get out of the Eastern Conference. Now, again, you got to see these guys play together. Look at this team. It is not, you know, who's your second, out, you know, outside of Kevin Love, you know, Love is the second best player once he gets back. But who's going to create offense outside of LeBron James? Who's creating offense? George Hill is not a guy. You know, he's a guy who's, you know, solid point guard, veteran, can shoot the ball, not going to create offense for other people. Rodney Hood, again, can get his own offense, but not, again, not a guy that's going to create offense for other people. So that burden is still going to fall on LeBron James. But again, this is a move that Cleveland had to make. And, you know, really, you know, thinking about this trade really gets you, can take you back to how this trade was made in the first place, or the fact that this trade should never have been made in the first place. When you think about it, think about what Cleveland was looking like in the summertime. What I mean by saying that is that Kyrie Irving should still be a Cleveland Cavalier. Like, that trading a Kyrie Irving, who still had 2 years left on his contract, that's going to go down, you know, as one of the dumbest trades of this decade, moving a guy when you didn't have to move him. They didn't have to move Kyrie Irving. You know, they didn't have to move him. They could have just told Kyrie, listen, this is, you know, you guys are about to work it out. This year, we're still best in the conference. We'll try to improve the team to get closer to the Warriors. So thinking about from that standpoint, you know, allowing Kyrie Irving in essence, dictate not only that he's going to be moved, but the team that he's going to be moved to. And, you know, Kyrie, you know, wins because he goes to the Celtics. Celtics are contenders. And now you have to scramble to get moved, scramble, you know, to get players to try to replace him. You have to, you know, so you go with these desperate moves with Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose. And it was something that was just wasn't going to work out. The team was just too old, too slow. And they couldn't get rid of those guys fast enough. 347-215-6180 on this latest edition of the Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. A lot to do in terms of college basketball. It was a big day in college basketball yesterday. We'll talk about that. But we'll continue next with this for today's headlines. Again, Cleveland, Boston, around 3:30. We'll be right back. If they win the Big Ten tournament, who knows, Michigan State could be a possible number one seed. Could be a number one seed moving forward, going into the NCAA tournament. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, yesterday we had Michigan State with a good win over Purdue. A good game. Bridges hits his game with a three-pointer in Michigan State. Again, the Michigan State needed to win. Purdue coming off a loss against Ohio State, so they've lost, and they've dropped a couple. But overall, in college, we saw Virginia losing, South Carolina coming off a Duke win with a good win at NC State, so they're playing better. But overall, you know, this will let you know about, this tells you all you need to know about college basketball right now, the state of college basketball this season. St. John's came into a Duke game last Saturday, losing, having lost 11 straight. They hadn't won a game since December 20th. They beat Duke. Yeah, at the time, it was number four in the country. And then they come this week, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I believe it was Wednesday, they took out Villanova. So a team that's under 500, that's not going to the NCAA tournament, takes out two top four teams in a span of less than a week, lets you know all you need to know about where college basketball is right now, that this tournament coming up would be as wide open of an NCAA tournament as we've seen in recent memory. Again, there's no teams that stand out. There's no one team that just has, you know, there's no one dominant player. Look at the Blue Bloods. Kentucky's struggling this year. Duke probably has the best talent, but again, Duke has, you know, doesn't have a true point guard. They don't defend. And, you know, I don't think she's actually done a good job with that team this year, considering the talent that they have. I feel like she got a little bit better. So they, you know, they'll be in the midst of the top, you know, the top two seeds. Possibly if they run the table in the NCAA tournament, they possibly get number one seed. They do have a number of quality non-conference wins. But overall, this is a weak, this is a wide open field in regards to the NCAA tournament. Yu Darvish signs a 6-year, $126 million deal with the Cubs. It was all you're going to remember, a lot of people have a problem with it. remembering how he pitched in the postseason. You gotta kind of can't let one postseason dictate your thoughts, dictate, you know, the entire body of work and dismiss the entire body of work. Darvish is a very good pitcher. He's a perfect number two behind Hendricks, Kyle Hendricks, who was clearly their number one. You have Lester as their number three. I still think Lester has some gas up there, today, but he'll be a perfect number three. Darvish, again, 6 years, $126 million. He did not get the contract that he envisioned they thought he was going to get, but I'm sure that he'll manage with $126 million. Again, I still think he's a very good pitcher. I don't let allow this postseason, what happened in the postseason, to kind of like change my opinion of him. Prior to that, he actually pitched well in previous postseasons. Moving over to the National League, permanently, no DH. The lineups aren't as deep in the National as they are in America. So I expect Darvish, you know, full spring training to go out there and pitch well for the Chicago Cubs. And the Cubs, again, anytime you can get a quality starting pitcher, add to your roster, your team is winning from that standpoint. I don't see how you can knock the addition of Lou Darvish to the Chicago Cubs. It's a good move for Cubs. He does not have to be, you're not paying him, you're not asking him to be your number one guy. They already have that in Kyle Hendricks. The Winter Olympics, again, Winter Olympics started finally. You would think that this would be a perfect time to have the Winter Olympics, considering where we are at in sports calendar. No football, baseball hasn't started yet. College basketball, everybody has started really paying attention to March. But again, you know, the Winter Olympics, where are the stars at the Winter Olympics? Like, where is a Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps? See, nowadays, you know, with television, you have less and less people watching television. And the selling point can't be, well, it's live now. You have to have stars. Stars create narratives. Narratives create storylines. So if you don't have any big-time stars, then why should I watch? You know, there was a time that I was into the Winter Olympics. I'm into some of the, you know, who's the figure skating? Who's the great figure skating star? Okay. Who's the great, skiing? I mean, there are no stars in the Winter Olympics. So it's going to be a tough sell to the country. Like, again, with the Summer Olympics, I could sell Usain Bolt. I'd be like, you know what, go watch Michael Phelps. Go watch the Dream Team in basketball. Like I said, or the Dream Team in gymnastics, the women's gymnastics team. Those are stars. You can sell that. Winter Olympics, you can't. Who are we selling here? Where are the stars at? And even in a February, cold outside, you know, winter time, people will find something else to watch or something else to do. If you have nothing that's going to captivate their attention, that's when people will pull out to Netflix or get caught up on some TV or some television, or get caught up on some DVR, some shows on a DVR. So I think the Winter Olympics have done a bad. I mean, there are just no reasons, real reasons to watch the Winter Olympics, to be honest with you. Even with the hockey, USA Hockey is not in it. You know, the NHL decided not to allow their players to play this year. I mean, I understand it. So there you go with today's headlines. When we return, we'll talk about the newest 49er and much, much more in this edition of the Shane Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back.
Everyone's on the take, the hood's filled with dirty plots. How we gonna save the community? questioning us. It's like a curse for us, police be the first of us. Think about it, every shit's no fucking joke. For them, the evidence will vanish in a puff of smoke. I'll never be subservient. I guess you get what you deserve in this. For project always, the courthouse always. Some prevail, most see jail, this happens always.
347-215-6180 is calling them on the third edition of the Silver Queen Sports Podcast. Cleveland, Boston this afternoon. We'll see how, see the first of the new Cleveland players, new Cleveland additions that made at the Clippers trade deadline. They're going to fly in Rodney Hood, Larry Nash Jr., and Jordan Clarkson, taking on live salary. Those guys, but the younger Hill and Hood are good are quality shooters. Nash is athletic, have a lot of energy, and they play off the ball well. And of course, Jordan, so we have Jordan Clarkson, he is a guy that can score off the bench. From a Laker perspective, the deal was a no-brainer. They wanted to move Clarkson's deal for a while. They wanted to get his contract off the books. They put themselves in a position where now they'll have enough cap space for two max free agents in the summer of 2000. In this summer, again, in their dream scenario, they would want LeBron James and Paul George. But even if they don't get, say, Paul George, they'll have enough cap space to get someone else, or even carry it over to 2019 where they had the likes of Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard as free agents. So for the Lakers, again, step one is getting rid of these bad contracts, getting clearing cap space. Now they're probably going to stretch the Luol Deng contract out, but they took the first major step is that getting rid of the bad contracts, clearing cap space without losing major young talent, and they acquired a first round pick on Djokovic, which I did thought that, if I'm Cleveland, I would not give the Lakers a first round pick. I didn't like that part from a Cleveland perspective, giving the Lakers a first round pick, and that pick is going to be somewhere in the 20s. And this is a deep draft, so the Lakers regime showing that they could draft. I mean, they had a big look. They get Lonzo Ball, they get Kuzma and Jason Hart. Lonzo Ball was almost a no-brainer, but nobody thought that Kuzma or Jason Hart would play as well as they would play this year. They really got three quality rookies on their team, and credit to the Lakers, to Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, and that part of, and their scouts for doing drafting these guys. Now, again, there's no guarantee. We don't know what LeBron James is going to do. LeBron James probably doesn't know what he's going to do. He has a house. He has multiple houses in the Brentwood, at Los Angeles area. He has two houses, two mansions. He works out there in the offseason at times. He lives out there in the offseason at times. As there are a lot of stars in the NBA, let's be honest. I mean, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Garnett, when he was playing, had a house out in Malibu. So it's not uncommon for NBA players to have houses out in Los Angeles with the lifestyle, the weather, and what have you. But, a lot of them is about the relationship or breakdown or the just the depletion of the relationship between LeBron James and Danny Gilbert. They never liked each other to begin with. But, I don't know what LeBron's going to do. LeBron doesn't know what he's going to do. I would go that. If I had to guess that whether or not he's going to be in Cleveland, I would guess that he probably won't be in Cleveland next year, if I had to guess. But who knows? He could sign a 2+1 deal and become a free agent again in 2019. Very might be surprised if LeBron did that. If he doesn't want to go to LA or no other team can make it work. Right now, again, LeBron is chasing rings. He wants another championship. He desperately wants a fourth championship. And I think he would be willing to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oilers put himself in a position to win a fourth championship. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, this is going to be the story of the NBA. Now, this will be the number one story in the NBA in the offseason, where LeBron James ends up. And again, outside of Cleveland winning a championship, that's the only thing that can guarantee him going back, returning to Cleveland next year. This would be something that would dominate the NBA headlines over the course of the offseason. Of course, the 49ers completed Jimmy Garoppolo deal with making him the highest paid quarterback in the league. People want to complain about only 7 starts. The bottom line is, if 49ers didn't give him that money, somebody else would have given him that money. Garoppolo undefeated so far. His 10-year, 7-0 as a starter. He's 2-0, of course, with just two starts in the 49ers a couple of years back when Brady was suspended. And 5-0 with the Patriots with the 49ers this year, which was remarkable considering that, they got off. They were 1-10. They were 1-10. San Francisco was. They finished the season 6-10. To get off to that kind of start, 1-10 teams don't win 4 or 5. Don't have winning streaks at 3, 4, 5 games in a row. It rarely happens in there. Rarely happens in the NFL. So he played at a high level. He's a guy. Again, the 49ers are in a good place right now because they're not paying a lot of people. So this contract is, to me, a market friendly contract because he's the only one on the team that's making any money. So even with his contract, they still have over $70 million in cap space to where they can go out there and get free agents to come there. They might have to overpay for a couple considering the culture the last 3 or 4 years, but that's the NFL. I expect 49ers to be right in the middle of a playoff caliber team next year. He's that good. Got a good relationship with Shanahan. Over the full offseason. And again, the idea that I heard a couple sports radio callers say, they each think about taking a pay cut. I'm like, why would a guy in his position, playing the most important position in all of sports, even dream about taking a pay cut? I mean, think about that. And why, pay cut? I mean, if somebody asked you on your job to take a pay cut so that you could pay, so that they could pay some other people on your job, what would be your response? Somebody asked you, why don't you take a pay cut so you could pay so-and-so? That sounds like a you problem. Not my problem, but you have to pay other people. This idea of taking a pay cut, I hear, fans just don't get it. These guys, and girls, and women, who are playing professional sports, have a short time to make a lot of money. Average NFL career is 3 years, NBA career is 5 years, if that. They have a short span. The idea is to make as much money as possible in as short amount of time as possible. So, Dirk Nowitzki's, Tim Duncan's, those guys took pay cuts late in their careers when they were already done, when they were done making $15 to $20 million for the better part of a decade. Tom Brady has given the Patriots cap friendly contracts. Let's be honest, he's married to a supermodel who in essence is worth around $300 million. So the money doesn't matter as much to him as it would to other athletes. Other athletes are not married to supermodels who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Keep that in mind with Brady. Now, what the history of the NFL has proven is that the 49ers, again, are in a unique position because other players on their team are not making any money, but you've seen Super Bowl winning quarterbacks get paid, and then that team's not be able to return to a Super Bowl. Where it's been Joe Flacco, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. After they've gotten their big contracts, their teams have not returned to a Super Bowl. Now, part of that is getting hard to get back to the Super Bowl multiple times. But the other part of that is you pay the quarterback so much money that you don't have as much money to pay other players. That's why you have to draft and develop players. But you have to pay those quarterbacks. Once a quarterback reaches that level to where they're Super Bowl MVPs or where they're Pro Bowl or franchise players, you have to pay them. You have to pay those guys. There's no two ways about it. You have those guys have to be paid. They have to be paid handsomely. No guy, no quarterback in his right mind is going to take a pay cut in the prime of his career. It's just not going to happen. Coming off a championship or coming off all-pro, you know, having all-pro seasons or MVP seasons. It's just not going to happen. It's just not the business of the NFL. It's not how the NFL works. 347-215-6180 and it's your call number on this relationship of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. As we say goodbye to Facebook, we will continue in a couple, we'll be right back. After the 2 o'clock hour, this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. As we get, we transition from the NFL to college basketball and the NBA All-Star break. The NBA All-Star break is coming up Friday, as the players just are going to have to drag themselves until Thursday, and then we'll get a nice, 5-day rest. So what they get Saturday, Sunday, or really Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So they'll get 5 days off to kind of recharge the batteries. And I'm going to tell you, listen, this must be a generational thing in regards to these guys and fatigue and injuries and what have you. When you hear Steve Kerr coming out and saying that we are mentally fried and we, you know, when you have all four All-Stars, number one, and then when you have all those guys who are in their respective primes, again, this type of talk was not happening in the 90s. I'm telling you right now, forget about the 80s, but in the 90s, this type of talk was not happening with guys getting tired and guys, you know, saying drag into the All-Star break. And Adam Silver has went out of his way to kind of like work with the players in regards to starting the season 2 weeks earlier, not having as many back-to-backs, cutting down, not having as many 4 games at 5 nights, things of that nature. He's going out of his way. And these guys have the ability as far as nutrition. They get the best travel, private jets. They got masseuses on the jets. They get the best, got the best of modern medicine and training, trainers, and all kinds of stuff that these teams spend money for to pamper and protect these players. And it's still not enough, amazingly. It's still not enough. Guys are still getting hurt. Guys are still, you got guys that are still complaining about, coaches still whining about the nature of how long the season is. I mean, I heard, you know, there are some people out there who actually believe they should cut the season to, you know, 70 games or 65 games or something like that. Like, are you kidding me? They want me to cut the season by 10 games. This was never talked about. This was never talked about in the 90s. It wasn't. I just didn't remember hearing about it. And I would say for the better part of the last 15 years, the NBA has gone out of its way to try to protect these players physically. like, start, I mean, remember, starting in 2003, they went to a 7-game series in the first round. But even with that, you would go every other day for the first maybe game ones and game two, and then have like a 3 or 4 day layoff between games two and game three, which was unheard of in the old days. In the old days, they played these series, but these guys played every other day. Look at the NBA Finals now. Look at the NBA Finals. NBA Finals started on a Sunday, so they went Sunday, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, they went Sunday, Sunday, Tuesday, they went Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, and then stretch it out. I'll look it up. You compare it to what it was back in, say, the early 90s. I'm looking at the NBA schedule, the NBA final schedule, in terms of how they just stretched it out. But give me a quick second. So, started June 4th. All right, so NBA Finals. This year, game one was June 1st. Was June 1st. So they went Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday. They went Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday. So, they played five games in essence 13 days. You played five games in 13 days. So, on average, the players got off almost 2.5 days, basically almost 2.5 days off per game in between each game. I mean, think about that. In comparison to years, I remember when the Bulls played Phoenix, okay, the series would start in 93. The series would start on a Friday. It went Friday, Sunday. Okay, it went Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And that was it. So there was no, you had off between, you only stretched it out from Sunday to Wednesday. That's the only time you stretch it out, from Sunday to Wednesday games. But other than that, you were playing every other day. So again, it has to be, it's a generational thing with these players. Whereas agents are dictating this, I don't get it. Again, the NBA has gone out of its way to accommodate these players in regards to wanting to take the game is not as physical as it once was. You can't touch guys. So I don't see what the NBA can do. The NBA can do anymore in terms of this. They are not going to cut the games. They're not going to go from 82 games to 70 games. They're not going to do that. It's too much money involved in it, and they shouldn't do that, to be honest with you. These guys should be conditioned. Players at a certain point if you're a player, you have to make that adjustment, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of how you train, or maybe play less basketball, you have to make the adjustment. The NBA has gone out of its way to take care of these players. I don't think they can do anything. Frankly, they can't do any more. So you see Cleveland make a deal. You see Cleveland, the one contender that makes a deal. Golden State, Houston, Boston, Toronto, for the most part, stand pat. I understand that Houston picked up a couple guys in terms of the buyouts, Brandon Wright, which is not a big deal to me. Joe Johnson could actually help, though. Joe Johnson, I think I like the Joe Johnson deal, because Joe Johnson is not afraid to take big shots. He actually veteran player who we know is not afraid to take big shots in key situations, in playoff situations. He will, that guy will stand up and will take a big shot in a heartbeat and without hesitation. So they'll need plenty of those guys over in their locker room outside of Harden and Paul, who are willing to take who are not afraid of the moment. He's not. He certainly is not afraid of the moment. Brendan Wright is not a big deal to me. I don't think Brendan Wright can play in a series against the Golden State Warriors. Again, as far as Cleveland, Boston, today you have Paul Pierce's retirement. He'll get his day in Boston. Well, all to himself. Doesn't have to worry about Isaiah Thomas, as Isaiah Thomas is a Laker now. And again, Paul, you know, Robert Parrish comes out and says Paul Pierce is the greatest offensive Laker, offensive Celtic of all time. And to me, you know, if I'm Larry Bird, saying to myself, if Larry Bird's paying attention, I would be laughing, because we can't. I mean, anybody who's watched basketball with a half a brain understands that Larry Bird, I think probably that Larry Bird behind Bill Russell is the second greatest Celtic of all time behind Russell. And offensively, Larry Bird is the greatest Celtic of all time. It's not even close. I mean, really, it's not even close. You want to compare Paul Pierce's numbers to Larry Bird's numbers? Be my guest, because they don't compare. They really don't. And listen, I won't even count Paul Pierce's numbers in terms of as a Wizard or a Clipper or a Brook or or when he was spending time with the Brooklyn Nets. Forget about that. I'm just saying strictly as a Celtic. You want to compare Paul Pierce's numbers to Larry Bird's? They do not compare across the board. Shooting, scoring, rebounding, assists, wherever, they don't compare. They don't. There's zero comparison with Paul Pierce offensively or as a player to Larry Bird. There's no comparison. And I'm a Paul Pierce fan. Paul Pierce was a big game player. We see him score 45, 41 in a game 7. We see him win a Finals MVP. Paul Pierce was a money player. Okay? Was a money player. I'm a Paul Pierce fan. Paul Pierce is not in the same conversation, the same stratosphere as Larry Bird, as a Celtic, as a player, or even as a Celtic. It's not even close. So, again, I know people tend to forget. Larry Bird's been retired for well over, 25 years, 26 years. But don't compare Paul Pierce to Larry Bird, because you'll just embarrass yourself. I wouldn't even engage anybody who would ever make that comparison in a sports or basketball conversation. If they ever dare compare Larry Bird, Paul Pierce to Larry Bird, there's zero comparison. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Black Panther will be out in 4 days. I know a lot of people, including myself, have gotten advanced tickets. I'll see it next Sunday. I can wait. I'm not. Friday, Saturday is going to be insane. Sunday, I'll check it out Sunday afternoon. I'm sure that show will be packed, because it'll be relatively still fresh. But Rotten Tomatoes is giving it, the last time I checked, Rotten Tomatoes had it rated at 100%. In terms of the rating at 100%, so I can check it now. So this is probably one of the most anticipated movies, definitely the most anticipated movie of the early 2018. You already have had, you have the soundtrack come out, and Rotten Tomatoes, I'm checking it now, Rotten Tomatoes is giving it a 98%, so it went down 2%, but still, 98% from Rotten Tomatoes, so that is, extremely high rating. Looking forward to it again. It's going to be, I would advise, if you haven't gotten pre-tickets, I would advise waiting, a couple, staying off social media, number one, because staying off social media for a few days, but waiting at least maybe a couple weeks to see it if you're not going to buy your tickets in advance. Because if you don't buy your tickets in advance, the lines are going to be insane for this. People have been anticipating this movie for months now. This is going back in the summer, like last summer, people were talking about this movie. So this has been, is one of the most anticipated movie up until this point. At least, it will be at least until the next Avengers, which comes out in May. So that they'll have their nice, it's coming out at a perfect time through Black History Month, so we can carry Black History Month, March, April, and then the Avengers will be coming out in May. Which will take over the summer without question, the next Avengers movie. But looking forward to this. Also, you had Quincy Jones do an interview with Vulture magazine, and listen, the older people get, the more honest they get, and that was certainly the case with this interview. Quincy Jones just basically cutting loose on any and everything from John F. Kennedy. Just to Michael Jackson. I mean, he really cut loose on this. The guy who did it was David Marchese, if I pronounced that correctly, did the interview. Thought it was a tremendous interview. That's a lot of, a lot of content in that interview, a lot of stuff, a lot of gems that you might not know about. Quincy Jones is, iconic music figure, one of the great music figures. Long time, or of any time for that matter. So I would definitely recommend reading that. It's in Vulture magazine. Came out this week. So I would check that out. That's gonna wrap it up for this latest edition of the Show Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Enjoy your Sunday. So long.